Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. It's that time again, man. It's time for lockdown. I got my hand on the trigger this week, so I can say lockdown. I'm the host of Fans of Patrol, Lockdown Edition. My name is Montego Bradley. With me is the always upbeat, always giddy, the poet, Miss Tifflebot. How are you, Tiff?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, man, you know, I'm pretty good. I just, you know, came from a social distancing birthday party for a little one. So, you know, so happy birthday to him, man. So, you know, it's a little strange because you got to stay the hell away from people, but, you know.
Yeah.
All the way on the other side. Hey, how you doing? You know, if I'm fine, how you doing? You know, so anyway. Oh, boy. So you making it through your coronavirus pretty good here, Tiff?
I mean, it's going.
Yeah.
One way or the other, it's going.
Yeah. You know, that's how it is. It's so much to say and not to say, you know, because
there's really nothing new because everything's the same every day. And
right.
You know?
Absolutely. So this week, man, on this show, we took it upon ourselves to do one of the Oscar contenders, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Now, I don't know if this movie won anything. I don't think it did.
Oh, yeah, it won Best Picture.
Really? I thought that was the Pariah, whatever that was.
Oh, Parasite. You're right. Parasite won Best Picture. Let me see what this says.
Okay.
I was just looking at that.
All right. I'm about to say that. I didn't think that was Best
Picture. It also won Golden Globe. Excuse me. Best Motion Picture, Golden Globe. And then Brad Pitt won Best Supporting Actor at the Oscars.
He was supporting?
That's what it says.
See, I thought he was the main actor from what I can see when watching it, you know. I mean, I can understand you had two big stars. Was Leo the supporting actor too, or was he supposed to be the star? Because they both seemed like the star to me, you know.
Don't know. Hollywood has weird rules for what's what. And
if you time their screen time, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Anyway, man. So we're taking a look at Once Upon a Time in Hollywood today. And this movie stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Brad Pitt. I say both slash right there. Margot Robbie. You see, Emile Hirsch. I don't even know who the hell. Oh, yes, I do. It was so many people in this damn.
Yeah, there's a lot of people in this movie.
Oh, a lot of. Timothy Oliphant was in this sucker. Julia Butters. And she's a little actress from this hilarious show my kids watch. Austin Butler. Butler. And she was Butters. Okay. Dakota Fanning, grown-ass Dakota Fanning, Bruce Dern. So many people. Is that Laura Dern's? Is he related to Laura Dern, Bruce Dern? I don't know. So many people, man. A lot of people. Al Pacino was in this thing. Just so many actors. So this was, 2019, rated R, 2 hours, 41 minutes, Tiff.
So fucking long. It is long. It's long.
It's long, and you let me have it yesterday. Tiff sent me the nastiest message. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. I had no idea. Oh, boy. Oh. So, yeah, it was it was long, and for some reason, I felt it, Tiffle, but.
Okay, we get into it when this whole thing starts.
Yeah, so we'll get into it right now. So we're going to hit one word.
I don't know if you're ready. I don't know if you're ready for my one word.
One word, Tim.
Okay. Pompous.
Pompous.
Fucking pompous.
You have to explain. I'll wait for my one word.
Okay. This movie is so, like, you can just tell Quentin Tarantino is, like, fucking blowing himself. He's just so fucking full of himself. You're watching this movie, you can just see him pat himself on the back. It makes me sick.
Oh, boy.
Like,
I can see that, man. I can see that. Wow. Ugh. Wow. Yeah. Yeah.
And I haven't been in the best mood to watch, like, you know what I mean? Like, so we'll get into, like, the parts that I liked and, like, all that good stuff, but, I think maybe I wasn't in the right mindset to watch a movie about dickheads.
Okay, got you. Got you.
And so, like, I think, and it's just very, this is arty. I make arty movies.
Yeah. It's about the craft, man. It's about the craft.
Lord.
Oh, shoot.
I would like to know your one word.
My one word is mistake. okay?
Mistake. Mistake?
Yeah.
I don't know what you mean by mistake.
It was such a mistake to choose this movie.
You didn't like it?
Not at all.
Whoa, okay. I'm so surprised that you didn't like it, because I was so sure that I was going to come here and just shit all over it.
No, you were
going to be like, I love it.
You were hitting me with the voodoo dolls. No, your boy just nah. And I'm going to explain this, man. I'm going to explain.
Yeah. I have reasons. It's not like I'm just saying that to be a jerk. I have reasons.
Well, we're still going to get into the movie, but we're talking. So let's just talk, man. So, you know, I'm going to say mistake, man. And, I'll justify it by, you know, I never felt like this movie went anywhere, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you just want to have conjoining stories, parallel stories, which conjoined sort of in the last, like, 10 minutes of the movie. And just have me watch these people who are supposed to be interesting because they're stars that most of the people who probably watch this are too young to know who the hell these people were. And I just was like, okay. So he spent time driving out of the driveway, and we watched Brad Pitt drive his car like he was about to go do something, and he's snaking down the road, and then he went over the bridge, and we're seeing stuff that he's passing, and then he goes in the house, and then he feeds his dog, and he goes to sleep, and then it's the next day. And I was like,
so many
why
the
hell
like, why?
Did I sit through? And that, no, Tiff, literally, that's like 5 minutes screen time. Maybe, honestly, probably around 2.5 minutes screen time for that. And you're like, well, damn, that served no purpose. And the Margot Robbie scene when she was going toward the movies and just looking hot and just so free and just like she's shopping on Saturday and we watch her drive.
I kept watching that scene, the one that you're talking about where she goes to the movies, thinking, oh, are we seeing this because she's supposed to be doing something else and she's going to get, like, in trouble?
Something's going to happen. It's going to be a reason why we're watching her go to the movies and get in the movie for free and watch herself smile and look how pretty she is. And she comes out and then she walks out, you know, just the freedom child. And nothing came of it. It's so many scenes like that in this movie. And so, I'm letting the audience know right now, I went back and put the spoilers in preemptively because I forgot all about it because we rolling. So that's some of the problems that I got with this thing. And, you know, so what about you? I mean, unless you want to talk about it as we go.
No, I mean, we'll do both, but I agree with you. It's just, it's like an overinflated tick. Just like, it needs to be smushed. It's just like, it's so much. And like, I think, yes, a lot of storytelling is just to tell a story. That's what storytelling is. But if I'm so out of it that I notice that you're just telling a story to tell a story, then you're not doing your job well.
No. Let's get into it.
Let's talk.
So everything is beautiful. Let me put that together.
Yes.
The sets are beautiful. The way everything is shot. But I didn't do it. I didn't know this was Quentin Tarantino until it was coming on. I said, oh, shit, this is Quentin. I said, well, I heard a lot of good things about this movie. So he must have stepped away from his Quentin-ness, you know.
Sure.
Because so many people love this movie. You know, got a lot of good buzz. I've been dying to see it. But, you know, we get full Quentin Tarantino later on in the movie.
Sure, we sure do.
Right, and in my opinion, so unnecessarily Quentin Tarantino. I was like, really? We got to go that damn hard. You just can't help yourself, huh? The only thing this movie was missing that makes it a Quentin Tarantino special is the absence of the N-word every other person's mouth. Didn't happen in this one. I was like, oh, but if you notice.
Well, there's not a single black person.
Not a single black person in the whole damn movie. I'm like, damn, really? Not one. Okay,
I noticed that about like, so a little ways into the movie, I was like, yeah, there's no black people in this movie. But I was like, I mean, okay, they're telling the story of Sharon Tate and that these are real people. So just so everyone who's maybe listening to this and hasn't watched the movie or maybe doesn't know, Cliff Booth, who is Brad Pitt, and Rick Dalton, who's Leonardo DiCaprio, are not real people.
You're right. They're the fake ones.
However, everyone else in the movie,
they were real, right?
Is real. So like Sharon Tate and Roman Polanski, it's a very famous story because that's the family that Marilyn Manson,
right.
Marilyn Manson's family killed. So, the thing about it is,
you said Marilyn Manson.
What?
You said Marilyn Manson?
Oops, I'm sorry.
I said, uh-oh, wait a minute.
Charles Manson.
Back it up just a little bit. That has not been confirmed.
Marilyn Manson traveled back in time when he killed Sharon Tate. Right. I don't even know what I was going to say.
I'm sorry. It just hit me as you were talking. I was like, wait, did she just say Marilyn Manson? I think she just said Marilyn Manson.
Oh, my God. Well, it's just that these people, so they're not real, and it's just a buildup to a retelling of this story in a different way. I don't know.
Yeah. It's like the good guys come out on top, I guess. So
I guess
Leonardo DiCaprio was very interesting when this thing first started. I liked his, you know, his style. I liked the relationship between him and Cliff. But then it quickly got sour because he's the down and out almost at the end of his career dude, you know, and the conversation he had with the Al Pacino character, the big movie producer, I thought was going to reinvigorate him to be a better actor and, you know, start getting roles. I thought we were going to see a turnaround of his career, but we don't. And there's nothing really that even happens that even, you know, is that, in my opinion, that interesting in the movie. So Cliff is his manservant, the Brad Pitt character, and doesn't seem to have a problem being the manservant at all.
No, he just needs money. I think he's like out of work and needs money.
Right. And so neither one of them are that big of a stars, but they're still living high on the horse, sort of, from the money that was made from the old Western and some of the things.
So like I got the feeling that he, and I don't know, that's the sort of stuff that's not really fleshed out in the movie, because I guess he feels like he needs to shoot 10 minutes of a car driving away for no reason, but he can't fill us in on like the fight, you know. I think he has actually, I think he has money.
Mm-hmm.
But like he doesn't want,
he don't have the fame that he had before,
right? And he doesn't, I don't think he wants to like share, I guess, necessarily his money.
Well, Cliff don't got shit, so
right.
Cliff gets to his house and we like, damn, my favorite character shows up, and that's what's
the dog
name? I love the dog.
It's a girl. What is her name? Looks like Ruby or something like that.
Right. So
Brandy,
right. And Brandy is a trained, what, pit bull? Is she a pit bull?
Yep, she's a pit bull.
Yeah, she was adorable, man, you know. And
and he's so fucking mean to her. Like, you can tell that he, like loves her. But then he's like, when she whines, because dogs just, you know, do. He's like, no, I won't feed you if you whine.
Right. Because she was kissing him all in the mouth when he walked in the house and stuff. And then he made her wait for the food and stuff. So she's trained like a fat rat.
Yeah.
Foreshadowing something in the future, you know. So these two kind of bumble around, and, you know, he's getting little roles and he's hating his life. And, you know, one of the most interesting scenes to me is where I thought things were going somewhere is when he got him a job to work on the Green Hornet with Bruce Lee. And I heard how hilarious this Bruce Lee scene was, you know, and how great it was and how angry Bruce Lee's daughter was with this scene, because she was saying that didn't portray who her father was. But frankly, she wasn't old enough to know how her father acted, you know, other than in film or what her mother told her. So you just never know. But apparently it was always said that it was an inflation.
So sure.
He had little man syndrome to the max. And he got his butt whooped, which was, it was kind of funny. You know, I was sitting there kind of laughing.
Nothing in this movie, it's supposed to be a comedy.
Now, it wasn't slap your knee funny, but you
nothing
know.
I can see that. It'd be like, that's humorous. But like nothing in this, there's like, I think one time I laughed.
I kind of laughed at the Bruce Lee scene, because that was kind of
sure,
funny.
Sure, I can see that.
He had so much, you know, shit to say, you know. I think I was laughing at Cliff the most, because he was laughing at the stuff that he was saying. You know, like he said, he beat up Cassius Clay. He just couldn't hold it. So that was kind of funny. So nobody got hurt. You know, lady fired him off the set, and that was it. And, you know, that whole scene was just because he started feeling crooked toward his buddy for a moment. What's the Leo character, Rick. You know, when he was wondering if he got him a job, and he told him what he said, and he was like, yep, I can see that. You know, because that whole flashback was just so he can realize why he was fixing the the TV antenna that, oh, yeah, I remember that.
Shit. Now that you say that, it makes sense. But I was like, yeah, I didn't even realize.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so artistically done that like, some of the shit just doesn't make any fucking sense.
No, a lot of it didn't make no sense, you know. And then we saw the little garbage picker cult girls and, you know, eating out of the trash. And then, you know, he picks her up, and she looked awfully young the whole time. And I was kind of glad that they went the direction they did, because I was like,
man, I agree. That would be gross. I don't want to see that
shit.
Super
gross. You know, he said, look, I ain't going to jail for no poontang. I liked, man, the actors in this movie, really good. You know, Leonardo DiCaprio, he played his role, but it just was nothing for him to do. Cliff played his role. Brad Pitt played the hell out of Cliff, but you did nothing with it. You know, and I felt like this about most of the characters. You did nothing. What was that whole party with Steve McQueen? What the hell was that whole scene? That was like damn near like 10 minutes, right?
Yeah, I guess to show that. I think, okay, so if I were to guess why that we were seeing this stuff with Sharon Tate, it would be to show us the emotional poignancy, to be like, it's going to be sad, because the whole time you're watching it, you're expecting to see her murdered.
Yeah, yeah.
So, like, you're like, oh, she's just having fun. She's a young, she's fun. Right, she loves life. Right, isn't it sad that she gets murdered?
Right, right, right.
I'm like, I don't, you know, I guess I don't care.
Yeah, they made her adorable, you know, but.
Yeah, they did. They made her really, and I'm sure in real life, I mean, like, yeah, nobody deserves to be murdered.
No, but it was like, y'all showing me too much of that adorable. I mean, God, like, when she was just driving the car, they just watching her just like,
yeah,
you know, the sun is on my face and I'm feeling great, but I'm not being a jackass about it. I'm just really enjoying my moment. And they showed us for like 3 or 4 minutes. You know, and I'm sitting there like, oh, God, please go to the next thing. So then we meet the little movie star. And he's shooting the scene, you know.
And I really like the scene with the little girl. I do like that scene.
Yeah, I like the scene with the little girl. I like the scene where he was in the saloon with the new star, you know. But it didn't connect to anything else. Neither one of them. Because then what happens after that? He goes to Italy anyway, you know.
Right, right. So, and it doesn't even happen then. Because it happens later when they're watching the FBI show.
Right.
So, like, between, and, like, so that scene would make more sense if at the end of the movie, it's not about Sharon Tate at all or about the Manson family. If it was about this actor who just was a washed up actor who's in his decline and is a drama about that. But it's not. It's about all this other shit. So, actually, in this part of the movie, and a lot of this movie is, like, this scene, and then they cut to the other. What's like? It's all happening simultaneously. So
everything was happening simultaneously.
Goodness. He's gone out. He picks up that girl who was hitchhiking that we talked about, the underage girl, and they go out to Spawn Ranch.
Right, and they shot that creepy as hell. I just knew something was going down. I mean, the fight was kind of cool when he beat the dude up, and you know, and him going into the house with the girl.
I definitely thought the guy was going to be dead.
Oh, of course, a corpse. And or some kind of horror stuff at that point, people trying to jump at him, you know, something, try to stabby, and nothing happened. I mean, literally nothing happened. He comes out and he beats the guy up because he's punched his tires. And I kind of liked that. I was like, yeah, whoop his ass.
Yeah, it felt good. Like, there's a few moments in this movie that you're like, yeah, that feels good.
Kick him in the head. Kick him. Kick his ass. Kick him. Yeah. Just like, get him. Get his ass.
Woo. All these hippies. And there have been different portrayals of the people on the Manson Ranch.
Yeah, yeah.
More sympathetic, less sympathetic. This one, they're very annoying.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you didn't care about any of them, you know.
So
you thought they were cool when they were in the trash can. You know, they were singing their songs and walking. And he was like, okay. And that went forever. And, you know, and you're like, okay, they're just hippies, you know. And poof, you know. But nothing, right? Nothing. Nothing.
And yeah, nothing. So this is just to establish, what happens later in the movie.
Right, right. The dude comes running down. And I'm like, if the dude catches up with Cliff, Cliff is going to beat the shit out of that dude. You know? And that didn't happen. So moving forward, you know, I think after that we have the scene where she goes to the movie house. Well, she goes to pick up a book, right?
Yes, a first edition of Tessa d'Urberville's.
Right, and but then she ends up seeing the movie that she was starring in, that she had a role in, and she goes and sneak and listens to the, you know, maybe that's a homage to her family or her fans that, you know, that she cared about what they thought about, you know. But again, for, you know, a black kid growing up in the ghetto, I didn't know nothing about this stuff and didn't care, you know what I'm saying? So I was like, you know, you could have did that really quickly. You know, sure, without the amount of time that every scene took. And Tiff, don't get me wrong. Scenes that should have been transitions were super long. And that's what I'm complaining about. I'm not really complaining about the main scenes that were happening. I'm complaining about them, too, because the main scenes that should have happened never really led to anywhere. You know, you're like, oh, they did all that for nothing. Shit, you know, they did all that for nothing. And, you know, the transitions lasted so long.
Well, it's 2 hours and 41 minutes. You can trim some of the fat.
Oh, hell, you could have trimmed probably. If this thing was an hour and like 15 minutes or an hour and a half, probably an hour and a half, you might have had a better movie. But still, it didn't go nowhere, went anywhere. Even when it did go, when it came together, it was still like, who cares? You know? So I'm trying not to leave out some other scenes that might have been semi, you know, decent. I can't. I'm looking and I don't see anything that...
Well, it's hard to remember because, like, it does just kind of feel like...
It's all over the place.
Somebody told you a story.
Mm-hmm. No. It was like, you know, you ever, like, be the only person who haven't seen a movie or something, and, like, it's like three people trying to tell you what it was like or what happened at the party at the same time. No, dude, then I was over on the side. No, I was on the... No. When you were in the back, this was happening. It was like that to me. Like, it was, like, coming from everywhere. It wasn't just, you know... And I didn't get... It took half the movie for me to realize, oh, they're telling different stories. They're not connected. You know what I'm saying? I was like, damn, well, maybe they're going to intersect somewhere. And they never did. You know, not really. Not until the very end. So, where are we at here,
Tara? So, after this, he goes back to pick up Rick. And then he's like, hey, do you want to watch? I'm on... The FBI, and do you want to watch my performance? He's like, yeah, I got beer, so let's go inside and we watch it.
Hold up, Tiff. Wasn't that after the fact that they said that they were through, right? They had to.
No, no.
Oh, I thought it was.
So this is. So after he picks him up, they go to and watch this FBI. While they're watching the FBI, Schwartz calls and calls Sergio Cabucci.
Oh yeah. And says,
hey, this is your guy for Nebraska Jim. And then he calls, basically convinces Rick to go to Italy for 6 months. And he does. So that part of the movie, like, who gives a fuck? Again, not important. Doesn't change anything. It doesn't, like, bring him back to stardom or, like, change his life in any way.
And that was the point. Married. That's the point. It didn't change anything. He didn't become a big star. Nothing. Exactly. I agree with you.
It just, so the only thing that changes in that, like, maybe I would say 30 minutes of the movie is that he comes back to America with his wife. And at that point in the movie,
Francesca,
he tells Cliff that I hadn't picked up on this until now. I assumed he was so they're a team and he pays him to work for him.
He can't afford him no more.
He can't afford him because he can't afford his house, and he has his wife now, and he wants to make sure she's supported. So they go back, and they're going to have one last hurrah.
Right. So they go to the Mexican restaurant, and Sharon's people go to a different Mexican restaurant. And now at this point, you said, okay, these things are going to culminate some kind of way because they're telling this Simon. Because then we have the narration. Cliff starts narrating the whole thing, right, at that point. At 7:45, this happened. At 6:45, which was kind of unnecessary because you could have just shot
it. It showed it. It just showed it happening. And then he's just talking. I'm just like, fucking who cares?
Right. So he gets high because he has the acid cigarette. Takes the dog out. And I'm like, y'all better not hurt that damn dog. And then we see the Manson family about to do their first murder.
Yes.
And I like that they were out there in front of his yard and he, like, chased them off like a mean old man. And then they found out that it was him. And they said, well, let's go kill movie stars. Woo! You know, and the one girl took off and had nothing to do with it. You know, she left him there. They go walking up in their black. Now, this was interesting, but I'm sitting here and I looked at the time, Tiff, and I said, this is what this shit is all about? You know? I'm like, what? So they walk in, and so Cliff comes back, right? And he goes in the house and he's feeding the dog, but he's high. And I'm like, oh man, the only thing I like about this movie really is Cliff, and they about to kill Cliff, you know? And the bad guys come in, they come around the back. And Cliff, it's so funny because he's high, and I don't even think if he was high, Tiff, even if he wasn't high, I don't think he would have took them seriously.
Sure, yeah, because they're wieners, and he's kind of like skilled guy.
Oh, man. So the best part of the whole film, Tiff, was when he with the dog, and the dog just went to town, man. Dog bit up Charlie Manson and bit up his crotch.
That's Tex.
Yeah, it's Tex, but we know who it's supposed to be, right?
No, because Charlie Manson never wasn't did there. Murders,
right, yeah. You're right, right. He was never there. That's true. That's so true. So, yeah, he chewed up his balls. He chewed up his arm. And then the chick tried to come at him, and he threw
a can of dog food at the girl first.
Ooh, after up.
Which was crazy.
Yeah. But it was Quentin Terry. It was Quentin crazy. It was like, yeah, that really caved in her face, man. Jesus, you know.
Yeah.
And then the dog goes on, and that lady wouldn't stop screaming for about the next 10 whole minutes of this movie, boy. Goodness gracious. So the dog chews her up, and the one he remembered all of them. He called it Ginger, remembered Tex. He said he had some stupid name. And
that was the part that made me laugh.
That made you laugh. It was a stupid name.
Yeah.
And, you know, they all get chewed up, and then it just went so crazy with Cliff grabbing the red-haired lady and smashing her face into the wall, into the mirror, into the fireplace, and, you know, he curve-stomped Tex and killed him. I was like, Jesus. I mean, here we go, Quentin.
It was intense.
It was ridiculous. Lady goes outside. Your boy stumbles in and comes out with the damn flamethrower.
Yeah, so the whole time this is happening, Rick is in his pool with his headphones on, which he does all the time, and he can't hear any of this shit, which I don't believe. And then she comes outside with a knife, or no, a gun, and she's screaming and screaming. She's covered in blood. She gets in the pool because she's just crazy at this point. He gets out, gets flamethrower, and torches her.
And she's doing a wavy for about 10 minutes.
Just go underwater.
Yeah. I'm sitting there like, ooh, boy. But he roasts her, and, you know, cops come. Cliff got, what, shot and stabbed?
I think he just got stabbed.
He was stabbed.
But he was so high that, like, that's kind of why he was, like, out of it.
Yeah. So, right. So I thought he was dead, but then he was on a stretcher. Cliff made it. I was like, oh, cool, Cliff made it. You know, and the wife was out there, and she ran back in the back, and the dog was safe. Everybody was good. And your boy, neighbor, who did the Rosemary's Baby, he was waiting. He wanted to talk to them the whole time. And it all worked out for his benefit
I guess is the story.
That was the whole point. That was the whole point. So we assume now that he got his career back, and they show that little flash back at the end, which I thought was going to show his career like him doing Magnum PI or something like that. But he was just doing an old commercial for those cigarettes that he was smoking. And there was a lot of cigarette smoking in this damn movie.
Yeah, there was.
I was like, whoa, I'm coughing and hearing. I'm just seeing all this stuff. so that was the end of the movie, Tiff. And like you said, it was what? 2 hours, 47 minutes, 41 minutes?
So long.
2 hours. 2 hours. 2 hours, 41 minutes exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It was long. It felt long. I kept having to look around.
Kept turning, pausing it to see how much longer I had to watch it.
Oh my God, I had people watching this with me, and they all left me. But before it was over, that was the last one left in the room. I was like, damn, I'm the last one left. So, yeah, Tiff, no, your boy did not like this movie. It looked beautiful. It was shot beautiful, but like you said, the pompous, that's a good word, because it was like, yeah, look how cool my stuff looks. No, that's a landscape, you know. It's like, yeah, this sucks, bro. You know, so if you like this movie, we just going to disagree on this sucker, because this don't, nah, that's not my cup of tea. I was bored to the max. And Jesus, can we have a linear story, please? You know?
Yeah, just get your shit together.
Yeah, I thought we were going to pull some Quentin time warps in there. You know, how he starts from the beginning and comes to the beginning or something like that. And that didn't happen. So bravo for that. And I guess because you had no African Americans in the picture, you didn't bother to bust a bunch of N-words. So I'm probably pretty glad it wasn't no African Americans in there. So you couldn't just throw that around all over the damn place. Mm-hmm. And so, nah, Tiff. I mean, my final thing is terrible.
Oh, yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I'm glad it's over.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say.
I know. Man. I say avoid it, man. Avoid it.
Yeah,
like the Black Plague. You don't need to. This is one of them ones. It is artsy fartsy to the max. And it just, damn, focus. If you could just focus, you had all the ingredients for a good story, but you didn't focus. You just let yourself run wild. Anyway, I think we came to do the damn thing and we got it done, Tiff.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our third lockdown in the books here.
Yep.
Now, this week on the show, we're doing Code 8. Code 8 on Netflix. I checked it out today, so I did my homework. And we're also, our one shot is going to be Wu Assassins, which I haven't done yet. So I got to get that out the way. So that's going to be this week's show. We also got some celebrity guests coming pretty soon. I locked down some things. So we're going to have some people on from some of the popular shows like Ozark and Lock and Key and some other stuff. So about 4 new guests coming pretty soon.
Oh,
so
wow.
Look for that, man. So that's it, man. Until next week. We will be. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me back up. Say goodbye to the people, Tim.
Yes, it's been a pleasure as always.
And until next week, until Saturday.
Till Saturday.
We will be
on patrol.